his son. He is worshiping with his church in their new building for the first time this weekend. So him and Cindy are there. So I'm preaching this morning, and some of you knew that as soon as you looked at me. About 10 of you said, hey, you must be preaching this morning. You have a tie on. So I was not aware that I dressed like a slob that much, but I guess I'll try to work on that. We are starting a new series on the model prayer this week, and we'll be in this the next few weeks leading up to Easter. John Casas tells a story. He was the chaplain for the Chicago Bears in the 1980s, and the 85 Bears were kind of a famous team. They won the Super Bowl that year. They had a lot of characters on the team. Two of those were William Perry, who was nicknamed the Fridge because he was just this massive man, and Jim McMahon, who was a very eccentric quarterback. Casas tells the story that they were sitting in chapel one day, and Mike Dickett was the coach. He got up and he said, I'm going to say a few words, and then Fridge, William Perry, I want you to say the Lord's Prayer after I'm done. Casas felt a tap on his shoulder, and it was McMahon, and he said, hey, this is good. The Fridge doesn't know the Lord's Prayer. Casas said, surely everyone knows the Lord's Prayer. So Dick goes on speaking, and sure enough, they're looking over at him, and you can tell he's nervous. Sweat is starting to form and roll down his face. And McMahon taps him on the shoulder again, says, hey, $50, says the Fridge doesn't know the Lord's Prayer. And Casas pauses at this point and kind of reflects on just the idea that here he is sitting in chapel, getting ready to bet on whether or not someone knows the Lord's Prayer. And he continues to speak, Coach Ditka, and then he says, all right, everyone stand up, bow your head. And he points to the Fridge, and he stands up, and he says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Casas feels another tap on his shoulder, and it's McMahon. He says, hey, here's $50. I thought for sure he didn't know the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. So, whether or not you know the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, or if you do, hopefully this series is a good reminder for us. And really what this is, it is probably better named the model prayer because this is our guideline of what our prayer should be. This isn't necessarily a ritualistic thing we should say. It's okay probably if you do, but of all the prayers we give and that we are instructed to give in the Bible, whether that's a prayer of blessing, a prayer for intercession for someone else, a prayer for wisdom or prayer for safety, all the things we pray for should fall under the umbrella of the model prayer. And so we're just going to look at this a verse at a time during the series. This is in Matthew 6, if you want to turn there. And so this morning, we're just going to be looking at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. But before we get to how Jesus says you should pray, he gives an example on the other end of the spectrum of this is kind of how not to pray. And it gives us some insight into this passage as well. So starting in verse 5 of chapter 6, he says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Really, he gives out two examples. Don't pray so that people see you, because the point of that is so that people see you, and that's your reward. It's not to focus on God. It's just because you want to be known that you're this awesome prayer. Or don't just babble on and fill your prayer with words, thinking that the longer you pray, the more impressed God is. I think you've maybe heard a lot of tributes over the last few days about Billy Graham. One of the best ones that I've heard possibly was someone commenting on the fact that his prayers were short, to the point, and moved on after that. I think that embodies what Jesus is talking about here. So then to start off in the model prayer in verse 9, he says, therefore you should pray like this. "Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy." So the problem with those other two types of prayers that Jesus says not to pray like, those are focused on us. And I don't know about you, I tend to be kind of selfish sometimes, and my prayer life probably reflects that. I probably pray for myself more than I do for other people. But really the problem is my prayer should be directed at giving God praise and giving him the honor and the glory that he deserves. And I think a lot of times I come asking, "Hey, please do this, please give me this, please help me with this." And I forget to pause first and tell him how good he is, how much he deserves my praise. See, before we want, we should worship. That is what Jesus is saying in this verse. Before we go to God asking for things, we should first pause and tell him how good he is and just reflect on the fact that we need him in our lives. So two things. Whenever Jesus is going through this verse, two characteristics of God that we praise him for. The first is that he is our Father. Think about in Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, think about the creation account. God is creating different things. He separates the day from night. He creates plants and animals, puts the sun and the moon and the stars into orbit. And after each day, the first 5 days, he pauses and he looks back and he says, "That is," church, "good," very good. After the sixth day, he creates mankind and he looks back and not only is it good, it is very good. Mankind is the completion that puts the creation into the masterpiece of what it is. God is your Father, church. You are the delight of his thoughts. You are made in his image. And we need to worship him accordingly. For some of you, I understand that the idea of God as Father may not bring up the best thoughts for you. Unfortunately, some of you may not have had a great relationship with your father. And the only thing I know how to say to that is that your heavenly Father is everything that you wish your father would have been and even more. And if you will begin to view him as such, you will find that out for yourself. Psalm 139, verse 13 says this: "For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous." Again, this is David pausing to reflect on the fact that God is our Father. He created us. He made you just the way that you are, on purpose and for a purpose, and he delights in who you are. That you are a child of God the Father. But this idea of Father goes beyond that. In Romans 8, we see Paul talking about Father in a different way. Starting in verse 14, he says, "For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ." When we hear the word adoption, I'm sure we think of bringing a child into our family. And that is definitely what Paul has in mind here. But in the Roman world to which Paul is writing, it goes beyond that. Under Roman law, whenever a child was adopted, he became part of this new family. But his old life was completely wiped away. Any debts, anything from his old life that you would no longer want to have was gone. And it was very much like having a brand new life after being adopted into this new family. And church, the God that we serve is not only the God that created us, but he is the God who accepts us as adopted children because we rebelled against him. And when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, he gave us the opportunity to enter into his family again and to cancel the debt that was in our past and let us have a new life as an heir of the inheritance that we don't deserve, but that he offers to us freely. But God is not only our Father, he is our Father in heaven, which means he is sitting on the throne where he has been from the beginning of time. There's a picture that maybe you recognize. This is from John F. Kennedy and his son, JFK Jr. And as I was looking for this picture, his wife, Jackie, did not like to have pictures taken. She thought they were trying to, you know, politicize the event, and I think they were. But this picture was taken when she was out of town, which is just the most, you know, male thing to do ever. And what is great about this picture is that we see, obviously, that JFK Jr. is probably allowed to do some things that other people wouldn't. As a young kid, he has access to just hanging out with his dad in his office and going through that secret door there. Church, our Heavenly Father does not only see us as a child, but he is sitting on the throne. And the Father that we have access to is not the president of a country or the king of a nation. He is the creator of the entire universe. And when we approach him in prayer, we need to remember that. See, God deserves the praise we bring, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves, man, the God I serve is so much greater than my thoughts and my understandings. Sometimes we need to tell our heart that the person that we are bringing our request in front of has the power to handle anything that we ask. See, the God that is on the throne today is the same God who spoke the universe into existence and who breathed life into Adam. Is the same God who parted the Red Sea before the Israelites and who told the sun to stand still. It is the same God who shut the mouths of lions and called fire down on Mount Carmel. He's the same God who told the storm to be quiet with just a few words. He called the lame to walk and the blind to see. He is the same God who called Lazarus out of the grave. And the same God that is on the throne today who hears our prayers is the same God who sent his Spirit to lead Christ out of the grave himself. And anything that you bring before him, he can handle. Maybe that is fear. Maybe you're in a season right now where you're angry with God and you don't feel like you can bring those things in front of him, but I think he has big enough shoulders to handle your anger. Maybe it's confusion, you don't know what the next step is. Maybe you've been praying for a child or a family member for years and nothing seems to happen in their lives. Church, keep praying because you serve a God who is big enough to handle all of those things. Maybe sometimes our prayers just aren't big enough. I think that's the case for me. I come to God with maybe some simple requests, and I don't trust him to take care of the big things in my life because I forget who I'm praying to and who is sitting on the throne in heaven. I love this passage in Job 26, starting in verse 7. It says, he stretches the northern skies over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps up the water in his clouds, yet the clouds do not burst beneath its weight. He obscures the view of his throne, spreading his cloud over it. He laid out the horizon on the surface of the water, at the boundary between light and darkness. The pillars that hold up the sky tremble, astounded at his rebuke. By his power he stirred the sea, and by his understanding he crushed Rahab. By his breath the heavens gained their beauty, his hand pierced the fleeing serpent. These are but the fringes of his ways. How faint is the word we hear of him. Who can understand his mighty thunder? Job lays out this incredible text of God's power. And then he says, these are the fringes of his ways. We don't even comprehend how powerful God is. It reminds me of the story when Moses wanted to see God, and he hid him in the cleft of a mountain. And he put his hand over the cleft and walked and said, you get to see my back because you can't handle seeing anything else. Church, we serve an incredibly powerful God who can handle anything that you bring before his throne. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Maybe you've memorized, hallowed be your name. That is the way that I memorize this verse, but this, I like the way this translation sums it up. May your name be honored as holy. It's worth noting that the very first thing that we are told to ask for in the model prayer is that God's name would be glorified. We are not told to ask for help for someone else. We're not told to ask for guidance. The very first thing that we are to ask for is that God's name would be lifted up so that people could see his power and might and love and mercy. See, God's glory is the filter by which all our prayers should be asked. Maybe you're in a season right now where it's difficult to pray, and the starting point may be asking yourself, are my prayers focused on me, or are they focused on telling God how amazing he is? I think it was New Year's Eve. Shannon stood up and gave a report about the situation with Tracy and Amelia. At that point, it was very early in the process. It had been just a few weeks since she was born. And I called Shannon yesterday and asked him if I could tell the story. And he's like, well, I don't remember what I said. But I said, well, I do, because it definitely stuck out to me. He was talking about the night in the hospital, seeing the doctors go in and out of the room and seeing people just continue to go and not knowing what was happening, but knowing that this isn't usual. And what he said that just kind of floored me was, my prayer that night and our prayer this entire time has been that God would be glorified through this situation. That is the essence of this verse better than I could explain it. That no matter what happens, we look to God and say, God, you deserve our praise and our honor and our glory. You're powerful enough to handle it. And you are our Father who loves us like his child. And so no matter what happens, we're going to give you that praise and honor and glory. Church, we have an opportunity over the next few weeks to see exactly how Jesus told us to pray, to start to take those prayers and put them into effect in our own lives. And the first step is just simply telling God how amazing he is. thanking him for being our Father, thanking him for sitting on the throne, and lifting up his name as holy. Would you pray with me? Father, you are so good. And Father, we could spend our entire lives telling you how amazing you were and just praising your name, and it would still not be enough. So Father, our prayer today is that our prayers from now on would reflect that we would begin to come before you, and that before we ask for things, we would first tell you just how great you are. God, thank you for Jesus and what he does for us every day and what he did for us on the cross. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Do you stand up and continue to worship with us?